is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Patricia Bezilchik, Program Manager, Research Associate with the Missile Defense Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C., posting most recently at Civitas Outlook, part of Civitas Institute, the University of Texas at Austin. This is not only about Golden Dome, but it's a good place to get to start. I give the backstory. The Cold War of the 20th century ended as the Soviet Union disintegrated in late 1991. After that, there was a peace dividend. I'm talking generally speaking here. And the period that was then most concerned was the rogue nation. That concerned the Pentagon and the war planners a great deal. And developing a defense from a rogue nation getting a hold of a missile that could have a nuclear tip was a priority. Now, these many decades later, there are two, not one, but two near-peer nuclear-tipped missile-laden adversaries, Moscow and Beijing. In addition to that, there are the subpar units, Pyongyang and Tehran. I could go on, but in any event, you see the scale of how things have changed. What is to be done? Now we come to the Golden Dome, the president's metaphor for a defense of the Western Hemisphere, perhaps. Patricia, a very good day to you. I set the backstory because I want to plunge right into where we are now. Is it defending the Western Hemisphere? Is it defending North America? Is it defending America? Have they settled on that in Washington? Good evening to you.
Thanks, John, for having me. Really looking forward to speaking with you on this important topic. So basically, the Golden Dome for America is a call for a reorientation of U.S. missile defense policy towards these next generation threats coming from great power competitors such as Russia and China. So this is, you know, modernizing existing U.S. Missile defense architectures to counter threats from, you know, hypersonic weapons, cruise missiles, et cetera. So it's really a reorientation towards those great power competitors.
Is there a link in any fashion from the Golden Dome metaphor to the Star Wars metaphor in the Reagan administration during the Cold War in the 1980s?
There are definitely a lot of similarities between the two efforts. You know, obviously, Star Wars was the U.S. Reagan era response to the Russian ICBM threat. And, you know, we see a lot of parallels between the two being thrown around. And, you know, Golden Dome obviously is calling for an update to homeland missile defense. And so that's one of the similarities. But a lot of the, you know, technological advances and other factors have made the calculus different this time. So, you know, when we're looking at previous Star Wars era sort of initiatives such as Brilliant Pebbles, you know, space launch costs and electronic miniaturization, all of these things may have changed the calculus when it comes to space-based interceptors.
The Cold War had a doctrine called the triad. There were silos out west somewhere. There were B-52s somewhere. And then there were the boomers, the missile-laden submarines that nobody knew where they were. The triad. Is that to be extended into the Golden Dome? Are we adding a fourth leg to the table? How does the Golden Dome deal with those three ideas from the Cold War?
Of course, yeah. And the nuclear triad is definitely a part of our nuclear deterrent, right? The Golden Dome is not getting rid of any of this triad in order to do so. I believe that the way that Golden Dome fits into this deterrence architecture is by imposing costs on our enemies, saying that if they try to attack the U.S. homeland using missiles, they will not succeed, or at least it will diminish their confidence that attack on the U.S. will succeed. So that also increases our ability to deter them and to make sure that they will not try to impose costs on us.
I'm not going to the critics, but I want to mention yet, I will get there because your article gets there. I will mention that there was a doctrine in the first Cold War, and the younger members of the audience might not automatically know this was real. It was called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction. What was that then? What is it now? Does it apply to the Golden Dome?
I think the concept of mutually assured destruction, in which, sort of maintain our ability to strike our enemies after they have sort of hit us with a nuclear weapon, certainly persists with Golden Dome. You know, I think that in that Golden Dome and building our homeland missile defense capabilities will only strengthen mutually assured destruction, because of the fact that we are making sure that we retain our second strike capabilities because we're able to protect our homeland assets.
I want to understand Golden Dome's ambitions. A defense of North America for incoming, that's one thing I can imagine in my mind. But we know now what we did not know in the first Cold War, which is that low Earth orbit is a commercial success and that it is routine now for private enterprise to take advantage of low Earth orbit, not using in any fashion government equipment. Private enterprise, and that is expanding into Europe, it's certainly expanding into Asia, and our adversaries have advantages as well. Is that part of Golden Dome, to worry about low Earth orbit, to worry about satellite communications, or is that another silo?
Yeah, of course. Golden Dome will have a huge space component. One of the only programs called out in the January 27th executive order was HBTSS, which is a satellite that contributes to our surveillance in space. And, you know, it's going to play an important role. Proliferated space sensors will allow us to have domain awareness, having sensors with different phenomenologies that can track threats, whether that be hypersonics or other missiles. It'll be really important for us to be able to have domain awareness and also fire control quality tracks of incoming threats from around the world.
Now, the present situation is completely different from the Cold War, so I leave that behind. We have multiple threats, not only from rogue nations, but from those allied with our adversaries, our near-peer adversaries. And there was, in the first Cold War, the idea of counterforce or countervalue. That seems antique now. You have to deal with the fact that you could have missiles coming from any direction, and you couldn't know the origin, the date, the address where it came from. Golden Dome has to deal with all that threats. It seems an overwhelming amount of what ifs. Is that where the argument, the case is now, that they're just listing the what ifs? They haven't got a full handle? I'm thinking about defending our European allies as well as the U.S. for incoming.
Yeah, I think that the exact details of the Golden Dome architecture are still being put together by people who are much smarter than me. But I do think that it's an important question of what exactly are we defending from? What are we deterring from what sorts of attacks? And which sort of capabilities are we most concerned about? Are we concerned a lot about the cruise missile threat, where, these low-flying missiles can underfly a lot of our existing missile defense radar systems? Are we concerned about hypersonics, things like that? And I think that whether cultivating a sort of next generation threat defense is really important. So I'm excited to see how the architecture unfolds.
We rush to the critics of the Golden Dome so far. It's early days. I'm speaking with Patricia Barzilczyk, the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. She's a research associate and program manager at the Missile Defense Project. When we come back, what is the knock on Golden Dome? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.